Are you to all of you?
Also, chapter 18 is the final chapter in the Gita. But this chapter 17 actually, all the teachings of Bhagavad Gita will be completed. Chapter 18, therefore, is actually a summary of all the past 17 chapters. So the final teachings actually are given in this chapter. So if we look at the chapters 13 to 17, the final five chapters, which are the Jnana Yoga portion of the Bhagavad Gita, I think there's some echo coming from that. Which is the Jnana Yoga portion of the Gita, let us look at the logical development of how the knowledge is progressed. In chapter 13, which is called Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yoga, Namaha, Kshetra means matter, Kshetrajna is consciousness, Vibhaga means the division. So how to differentiate matter and consciousness? The reason we need to know this is because everything in this creation is a mixture of matter and consciousness. Many different terminologies have been used. Prakriti, Purusha, Atma, Anatma, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, so many different terminologies. But in essence, they mean just two things, matter and consciousness. And we should know that we ourselves, this body, is also a mixture of matter and consciousness. So what is our goal? Is it to be entangled in this matter or to seek the consciousness?
Seek
the consciousness. So we must know what is the difference between in me, which part of me is matter, which I should not get attached to, and which part of me is consciousness, which should be my spiritual goal. And we looked at many differences between matter and consciousness. One, matter is inert, it has got no life. Two, matter is temporary, it's constantly changing. Versus consciousness, which is full of life, it is the life-giving principle. Number two, it is eternal, it is a changeless, eternal consciousness. And many, many other differences we went through. So chapter 13 is very basically telling us what is matter, what is consciousness. Then when we come to chapter 14, the division of the three gunas, there Krishna wanted to highlight, why is it that we are so much attached to this matter? The jiva is so much attached to this body, matter is this body, this mind, this intellect. Why is it that we are so attached? And Krishna spoke about the knowledge of the three gunas. It is these three gunas, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, which are known as the three ropes, the white rope, red rope and the black rope, that bind the jiva to this body. So sattva also binds, rajas also binds, tamas also binds. And he explained to us individually how each of these gunas bind. That is chapter 14. Then he came to chapter 15, whereby he explained to us the three very important aspects for us to know, which is what is mentioned in the Upanishads also. The three things are, what is jiva, the individual soul, what is jagat, this creation that we, the jiva has got to live in this jagat. The jiva is not running away from this jagat. And by jagat also, we must understand the meaning of the word jagat. In Sanskrit, jagat means jayate gacchanti iti jagat, meaning that jagat is defined as that which goes out of existence and comes into existence. So that means everything in this creation is constantly changing. Everything falls under the topic of jagat, including what? Including your own body. So jiva is separate. Jiva is the part of the consciousness. Jagat is the changing world, the changing environment which we have to learn to adapt. And the third component is Brahman. So Jiva, Jagat, Brahman. And in chapter 15, Krishna explained to us. So 14, he told us how the gunas bind. Chapter 15, he explained to us using the allegory of Ashwatha tree. The tree represents the world. And he said, just like the roots, the secondary roots which are under the tree, the secondary roots bind the tree to the ground, right? In the same way, karmanu anubandini manusha loke. We just recited that. Karmanu anubandini manusha loke. In the same way that the roots, the secondary roots bind the tree to the earth, we human beings are bound. Anubandini. Bandini means bound. Anubandini means very strong bondage. We are bound to repeated births in this world because of what? Karma anubandini. It's our karmas that bind us back to these actions. So therefore, the karmas create the vasanas bring us back again to another birth. And what type of actions bind us? He's very particular. He says, karmanu anubandini manushya loke. It is only actions which are undertaken in a human form that bind you. Meaning, whatever actions you do in an animal, insect form, do not bind you. What actions you do as a deva, do not bind you. What actions you do as an asura, do not bind you. Karmanu anubandini manushya loke. So, since the actions bind us, through the gunas they bind us, therefore in chapter 15 he gave us the four sadhanas, how we should learn to break this cycle of what we call it, samsara. And what were the four sadhanas? Homework time. What were the four sadhanas? If you recall, vairagyam, detachment, right? By viveka, you practice that vairagyam. So one is learning to detach. What do you mean by detachment? It's not physical detachment, it is mental detachment. What do you mean by mental detachment? Huh? Do not depend upon the world for your happiness, security, comfort, etc. The world is a place for us. We have been brought here to discharge our duties, responsibilities and exhaust our karmas. Search for happiness within, which is permanent. Don't rely on the temporary. That is detachment. So the first one was vairagyam. The second was the goal. Therefore, cultivate a desire. Mumukshutvam. The word used in the scriptures is mumukshutvam, means you should have a desire for the higher goal in life. Because when we detach from the external, we must engage our mind in something more noble, something more higher. So turn your mind towards a higher goal. Have that burning desire for moksha. And then the third was?
Surrender,
saranagati. Because when we go on the spiritual path, there will be many obstacles, so we should seek the grace of the Lord. So do your prayers, do your rituals, surrender, chant your mantras, surrender. And what do we mean by surrender? What do you mean by surrender?
Seek the grace of the Lord.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Seek the grace of the Lord.
Accept
the results. Positive also, thank the Lord. Negative also, thank the Lord. That is called surrender. Okay? Saranagati. And finally, the fourth is sadgunas. Learn to cultivate those good qualities, dharmic qualities, humility, kindness, love, compassion. In chapter 16, he gave us 26 such qualities. So the four sadhanas were given in chapter 15, how to detach ourselves from the world. Then he came to chapter 16, to explain to us the two paths that we always face in life. One is the divine path and one is the demoniac path. The divine path is sattvic. Those who have sattvic qualities will follow the divine path. Those who have rajasic and tamasic qualities will follow the demoniac path. And what is the difference? Krishna said, sattvic qualities will lead you to moksha, rajasic and tamasic qualities will lead you to spiritual degradation. Either spiritual stagnation or spiritual degradation. So therefore there are two parts for us to choose. 26 good values he gave to us in chapter 16 verses 1, 2 and 3 which we should strive to cultivate. Then he came to the very important point at the end of chapter 16. Since this is linked to chapter 17, what is the important point that he spoke about in chapter 16 at the end? He said, let the scriptures be your guide. Don't just follow your desires. Don't just follow your whims and fancies. Many of us think, I am very clever, I've got MBA, I've got PhD, I know how to live my life, don't teach me anything. You may be the most brilliant person in your working field, but that does not mean that you know how to live your life. So he says, do not follow your life according to your whims and fancies. Take the advice from the scriptures. If you want to get a medical degree, would you go to a would you go to a footballer for how to get a medical degree? Obviously, you go to a medical university. So, if you want to learn to lead the life according to dharma, to attain moksha, where do you get the advice from? Now, that brings us to a very important point again, which Arjuna will address now in chapter 17, verse 1. So, what is chapter 17? It is entitled Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Shraddha, you can understand, is faith. Traya means three. That means there are three types of faith. Vibhaga means the division between the three types of faith. Now, let us understand what is the problem here. All of us, the majority of us, fall under this category. Krishna says, take the advice from the scriptures how to live your life. But what is the biggest problem? What is the biggest problem?
We have our own mindset.
We have our own mindset. But what is the problem? How many of us know how to read the scriptures? How many of us have time to read the scriptures, understand the scriptures? So, how do we follow? How do we follow our prayers, our rituals? How do we, when we go to temple, what is it that we use as a guideline to pray or offer the flowers? How do we follow all this? When we do charity, what are the guidelines? Where do we follow all these things from? All of you who do prayers, rituals, do charity, chant your mantras, where do you follow all these guidelines?
Parents.
Yes. We follow either from parents, we follow from friends, or what we hear from here, what we observe people doing. Are we doing right or wrong? We don't know. Right? So now
the student asked why we are doing this, you also do not know.
No, very simple. For fathers, you say, go ask the mother. So, we do not know. But yet, we follow with a pure heart. We follow with faith. Now the question is, whether you are offering the wrong type of flowers to the wrong deity, whether you are facing the right direction, praying, so many things are there in our scriptures. Whether we are following the right or wrong, we do not know. So, what here, the same thing also, Arjuna also asked the same question now. He says, in verse number 1, chapter 17, Yehe means those people. There are one type of people. Okay, you see in chapter 17, verse 1, the very first word, Yeh means those type of people, yajante, ye yajante is in the second line. Ye yajante means there are a group of people, yajante, who perform worship, who do rituals, who do all sorts of prayers. So there are a group of people who are religious, they do all this worship, prayers, rituals, but this is the point. Utsrijya. Utsrijya means they ignore. They are ignorant. Not that they purposely don't follow. They don't know. They don't know. They just have seen their elders doing, they see their parents doing, they follow. So out of ignorance, what happens? They perform prayers and rituals, but Shastra Vidhim. Shastra means scriptures. Vidhi means they neglect the injunctions of the scriptures. So many mistakes we are doing unknowingly in our spiritual life. Even the way we give charity, also there is a right way of giving, but we do not know. We see people doing, we just do charity. How we pray, we see people doing, we just follow. So there are a group of people who are not literate, they do not know the knowledge of the scriptures. They may violate certain rules and regulations. Okay, so he wants to ask now. Shraddaya Anvitaha. So Shraddaya Anvitaha, you can see in the second line. Anvitaha means endowed. Endowed with faith. What is that faith of that person? How do you judge the faith of that person? Because what we were told, sattvic faith will take us to moksha, rajasic and tamasic faith will take us to spiritual degradation. So how to ascertain ourselves now? I do not know anything about the scriptures. I am following those rules and regulations which I have learned from my ancestors. So he says, kaha nishtaha. Kaha nishtaha means what? How do you classify? How do you classify a person's faith now? Okay? So, how do you classify a person's faith? And then if you look at the last line, Satvam Aho Rajas Tamaha. He says, is that person's faith sattvic? Aho means or. Is it rajasic? Or is it tamasic? So, we are blindly following. How do you classify that person's faith? What is the nature of that faith? Is it divine? So what is divine faith? Divine faith is sattvic faith. What is demoniac faith? Rajasic and tamasic type of faith. So Krishna wants to now answer to us, and most of us want to know this because we are all doing this. We are just following rituals, prayers, mechanically, also with faith. But what is the nature of our faith? So what does Krishna want to answer in verse number 2? Now, generally what Krishna will try to say here is that a person, now, very simple, if you take our own character, how you deal with people, don't you think you can tell from the person's character, what type of character is he, how he treats people? If he treats people with respect, with love, with humility, you can understand what type of character he is, right? If he treats a person harshly, with harsh words, insulting people, you know what type of character he is. If he treats people cursing them, always you can know what type of character he is. That means a person's personality is an expression of his inherent nature. So this is what also Krishna is trying to say here. What the way you follow your prayers, your rituals, etc. is in accordance to your own nature. If you do not know the scriptures, okay, here we are talking about a person who does not know anything about the scriptures. Then what is it that will guide your prayers? What is it that will guide your prayers? What is the nature of your devotion? What is the nature of your faith? it's your gunas, it's your inherent nature which will direct your the way how you pray, the what type of worship you do, what is your motive. So it is our own nature that will guide us. When we don't have the scriptures to guide us, how will we be guided? By our own nature. So this is what Krishna wants to say. If it is a sattvic person, if you are a sattvic person, there's a different way that you will do your prayers and rituals. If you are a rajasic person, it will be different, tamasic person will be different. So that's why he wants to classify faith into three types according to your individual nature. This is presuming that you do not know anything about the scriptures. So all the types of prayers that you observe, which deities even, because even the type of deities you pray to also makes a difference, right? Motive also makes a difference. So we will see as we go along. So this is what Krishna says. He says in verse number 2, Saha Shraddha, that faith, the faith, that faith, Saha Shraddha, Dehinam, the word Dehinam here means the embodied person. Basically, we are all Dehinam, we are embodied people. Okay? So, a person's faith, Saha Shraddha Dehinam, who has no knowledge of the scriptures, Bhavati is because of what? So, here the very important word to note is in the second line, Swabhavaja. Swabhava means as per your nature. Ja means which is born from your own nature. What type of person, what type of personality you are. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, your very nature will manifest in the type of prayers you do. As we say, you can tell a person's nature by the company he mixes with. Then you know what type of nature he is. So similarly, the way you offer your prayers, the way you do dana, the way you keep your austerities, we can tell what type of person you are. Are you sattvic? Are you rajasic? Are you tamasic? And where does this nature come from? Your own inherent nature, where has it come from? From the vasana, exactly. From where? From the past births. We have been carrying this forward.
Brother, sometimes, it's not this nature. It's your nature, you are in that.
Correct.
I know, like, some of the estate environment, people always pray by cutting bones, and you know,
right.
You were in that environment, and right. You believe that that was our
way. So, what happens is, if you find, if you are in that environment, and let's say they are slaughtering animals, and that's the way how they pray, and that's the way the child has been brought up. But then don't forget, there are people who reject that also. There are people who follow that for the rest of their life, believing. Why? Because they are attracted to that kind of prayer. They find it comfortable, they find it joyful or whatever it is. But then if you take all the people who stay in their estates, not all follow that. Because of their nature, they will reject this kind of prayers and they will turn to a different direction. Right? Of course, when they are children, they will just follow mechanically. But when they grow up, when they have a mind of their own, when their gunas are fully developed, then they will choose their rituals and prayers according to their inherent nature. Right? And this also is a very practical way also for us to know. If I do not know anything about the scriptures, how do I assess myself whether I am sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Is my faith sattvic? Is my faith rajasic? Is my faith tamasic? How do I assess? So here Krishna is going to tell us four important practices. If you look at these four important practices which all of us do in our daily life, you will be able to assess yourself whether are you sattvic, are you rajasic, are you tamasic. Okay? We will come to the four now. Now, to answer your question also interestingly, we come back to the estate example. Look at Ramayana. Three brothers, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, born in the same household. Sattvic brother, Vibhishan. Rajasic brother, Raval. Tamasic brother, Umagaran. Born through the same mother, born in the same family, born in the same environment, but went three separate ways. Why? Because of their inherent nature. Okay? So, Subhava, the word Subhava, born out of your own inner nature, you will follow that, you will be attracted to that type of worship. And he says, therefore, it is Trivida. So he says there is a threefold. Because since we have three type of gunas, therefore the nature of our faith also will be of three types. Trivida. What is that? Satviki, Rajasi, Cha, Tamasi. There are three types of faith also. As your nature, so your faith. As your nature, so your behavior also. The words that you speak, the way you conduct yourself is all based on your own inherent nature. So, now Krishna says, Iti tam srunu. Iti tam means that I will now, that srunu, now you listen to me, I will explain to you individually what is sattvic, what is rajasic and tamasic faith. So now, in verse number 3, he says, Shraddha Sarvasya. Sarvasya, every human being, Sarvasya, Shraddha, faith, Bhavati Anurupa. Bhavati Anurupa means is formed, a person's faith is formed in accordance to what? Shraddha, Bhavati. Now, the word Sattva is there. So, be very careful not to confuse this word Sattva with Sattvic Gunas. You see the word in the first line, Sattva Anurupa. Okay, in the first line, you see the word Sattva Anurupa. Anurupa means in accordance. In accordance to what? Sattva. But Sattva here does not mean Sattvic Gunas. Sattva here means what is the nature of your internal organ? What is the nature of your mind? What is the nature of your intellect? So your faith will be in accordance to the nature of your mind. So even as children, we pick up a lot of habits mechanically until they become very strong in us. They become our nature already. And we follow that. We follow that. Plus what we brought forward from our previous lives. So what is the nature of everybody's faith? It is the nature of your own mind, your own intellect. So the word sattva here refers to your internal organ, your mind, your intellect. Okay. So he says, as per the nature of your mind, I am Purusho means this person, whatever is the nature of his mind, Shraddha Mayo, so is his faith. So now, each of us will know what is our faith, F-A-I-T-H, according to our own nature of our mind. Okay? So if your mind is sattvic, your faith is sattvic, your mind is rajasic, and so forth and so forth. Okay? What are your desires? What are your thoughts? All these will be expressed through the type of prayers you enjoy. See, that's why we have so many idols in our religion. And if you ask, how many people are here in this room? Maybe about 20, 25 people. If you ask all of them, each of them will tell you, I pray to this, I pray to Shiva, some say I pray to Ganesha, some say I like Hanuman. Why? Why does somebody like Devi, somebody like Ganesha, somebody like Hanuman? Why? Because of our own nature. We are attracted to that particular type of deity. We are attracted to a particular... Sattvic people like what type of worship? Quiet, silence, peaceful worship. Rajasic people, noisy, burn firecrackers, right? Loud noises, music, that type of worship people enjoy. But Sattvic people don't like this type of worship. So why is it? Because of our own nature.
Brother, does this mean bhajan is rajasic?
No. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes you go to some festival, you like to burn a lot of firecrackers, make a lot of noise. So, there are people who like this kind, you know, go in the street dancing and all that kind of thing. You know, when they have these processions and all that, there are a lot of loud music, dancing and all that. So we are some of them are attracted to this kind. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. We are not saying it's wrong. We are saying as per your nature, you are attracted to that type of worship. Okay? So not bhajans. You sing softly is okay. Don't sing too loud. So faith is as per your own nature. So the last line he says, Yaha Shraddha. Therefore, a person's faith is, however a person is, that is the nature of his faith. As they say, what you sow is what you reap. So what is your nature? That will be your exactly your faith. So now we come to verse number 4, where he starts to now explain about sattvic, rajasic and tamasic faith. Now, what are the basically the what we call the different types of worshippers? We have many types of worshippers. So basically let us look at certain common factors of worship. One is what type of deity we are attracted to. So if you look at the the Vedas, they also divide deities into sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. Now, who are the sattvic deities? Who are rajasic? Who are tamasic? We will discuss that. So first is, my nature will attract me to that particular type of deity. What type of deity I worship, I can also understand what is my nature. Number one. Number two is, what type of worship I am attracted to. Silent or noisy worship. That also will depend on my own nature. So mode of worship. The second is how I worship. Okay, the mode of worship. Animal sacrifice also will depend on my own nature. Whether I enjoy, I like animal sacrifice also will depend on my nature. That also is one type of worship. The third one is, so we've got two, right? Type of deity and mode of worship. Okay. Now, first of all, let us look at type of deities. Now, we have the major group of deities. You have Krishna, Ganesha, Hanuman, etc. All. These are called the sattvic deities, Devi and all this. So, what are the rajasic deities, which are mentioned in our scriptures? You know who are the rajasic deities? One good example is Kubera. There are Kubera, you heard of Kubera, right? Kubera, that one. There are temples in India which are dedicated to Kubera. And there are people who specifically are attracted to this worship of Kubera. For what purpose? Money, wealth, etc. Okay? So those who are attracted to these type of deities, and there are many types of these rajasic deities, they worship these deities because of their inherent rajasic nature. So those who worship Devi or Hanuman or Ganesha, Krishna, Shiva, these are called the sattvic deities. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean that just because you worship that deity, there are other factors also. Okay? So one is the type of deity. Now, what type of deity would tamasic people worship? What type of deity would tamasic people ghost and spirits. So there are also those kind of people who like to go and worship all these ghosts and spirits also.
But what about the gods in the night?
That's okay, their fierce form and all that. But you see, as long as they are the primary gods, they are presented in various forms of manifestation, like Devi is presented in many ways. That's okay. But here we are talking about the secondary gods which are specifically for material gains. Like example, Kubera is specifically for material growth. Okay? So we are not talking about the primary gods there. Now second is mode of worship. The first was the type of deity. Second is mode of worship. Mode of worship is whether we like places which are quiet, peaceful. Even if bhajans are sung, it's okay because it's in a quiet, in a peaceful mode. Okay? Rajasic prayers, prayers is where there's a lot of noise, firecrackers, loud music. And tamasic mode is what? Tamasic is where they do a lot of severe torture and penance. I'm talking about severe torture and penance. Okay, we will come to that. I know somebody is going to ask something about the question, but I will come to that. So severe torture and pain penance, but for what purpose? Rajasic people will worship for their selfish gains, for their materialistic gains. Tamasic people will go through severe austerities to gain boons for what? For destroying other people. For cursing other people, for destroying other people.
So this is the attitude.
Attitude. So I'm coming to the mode of worship. To how do they, what is their mode of worship? They prefer the type of pujas or austerities that give them power to destroy people. Rajasic people prefer the prayers, the type of prayers which grant them a lot of material gains. Sattvic people perform prayers for what? Welfare of Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, or for self purification.
But then, even asuras, they pray to Shiva.
Correct. So that's why I said you just don't look at the deity. Asuras prayed to Shiva, deity is correct, sattvic, but what was the motive? To get moons to destroy others. So the motive of worship again will also play a factor. So you may worship Shiva, but because your motive is to gain moons to destroy others, then what becomes of your worship? Is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Tamasic. So there are many factors we have to look at. The deity, the mode of worship, right? Whether you prefer noisy worship, quiet worship. Third is motive. Do I do rituals to gain spiritual growth, to gain inner strength? Do I do rituals and prayers to gain worldly benefits? Or do I do prayers and rituals to destroy other people? So motive again will be driven by your own gunas also. So now here Krishna explains first about the type of deities that people pray in verse number 4. He says, Janaha. Janaha means people. In the fourth line you see the word Janaha. People of sattvic nature, go back to the first line, Yajante sattvika devan. Yajante means they worship. Sattvika people worship what? Devan. So the word Devan here means all the primary gods, whichever we are given in the scriptures, all the primary gods. Okay? Shiva, Ganesha, Hanuman, Krishna, all the primary gods, Devi, they worship the Devas, variety of Devas. So sattvic people are naturally attracted to this type of worship. Okay. What about Rajasic? Second line he says, Rajasa Yakshas. Now two he gives there, Yakshas, Raksha. So there are two. One is Yaksha, Y-A-K-S-A. One is Raksha, R-A-K-S-A. Okay, there are two words combined together. So what do Rajasic people worship? Now what are Yakshas? Yakshas are a group of spirits which are mentioned in the Vedas. They are very friendly spirits. Okay, these are the friendly type of spirits. And who are these spirits? They are in charge of guarding all the natural hidden treasures beneath the earth. So like one of the chief among all the Yakshas is Kubera. Kubera is said to be the commander of all the Yakshas. Okay? So that's why people go and worship him, because he is in charge of all the wealth, the hidden wealth. Okay? And you know how Kubera is depicted in the scriptures. Many, many depictions are given. Kubera is said to be a dwarf, normally depicted as a dwarf. And he has a huge belly, right? And he has one eye. He has eight teeth. So why all this funny depiction of Kubera, three legs, and in one hand he carries a mace, another hand he carries a bag of money. So what is all this depiction all about? Why you depict Kubera such a, it's a very ugly depiction, very ugly creature. You look at, you go to internet and you just key in Kubera, you will see very ugly description of, depiction of Kubera. And there are temples in India for Kubera. So why this ugly depiction of Kubera? To show us that these are the demonic qualities in us, where we thirst for all the what we call money and power and all this. That is our very nature is being shown in front of us. So Kubera is depicted as a very demonic creature. In fact, the story about the Lord Venkateshwara has to deal with Kubera, because the story which is told in the scriptures is that when Venkateshwara wanted to marry Padmavati, he had no money. So who did he go and borrow money from? Kubera. So why do we go to Venkateshwara temple and put money and all? Give back to Venkateshwara so he can pay back the loan to Kubera. So there is a lot of stories behind why people go and donate tons and tons of money. We are trying to help him to pay back the loan to Kubera. All these stories are there in the scriptures. So there are those Rajasic people who worship this type of deities. Now Rakshasas. Rakshasas, what do they worship? Rajasic people. So I mentioned Yaksha. Yaksha are the friendly spirits. There is another group that Rajasic people worship. They are called the Rakshasas. Rakshasas are the demonic type of spirits. So Yakshas are friendly. Rakshas are the demonic type of spirits. So even Rajasic people also do worship these kind of spirits, but again for the purpose of what? To gain more power, to gain more material gains for themselves. Okay. Now he says, what about the Tamasic people? Another group of people. Tamasa yajante pretan bhuta ganams. Two type of spirits. Pretan means ghost. So pretan is ghost. Bhuta ganams is all the other types of spirits. So they are basically classified in the Vedas as two types. You have pretan as ghost, and bhuta ganams is a host of spirits, so different types of spirits. So all these ghosts and evil spirits who have had a troubled death, a painful death, suicide cases and all, these are the ones who are still lingering around. Tamasic people go and worship, right? They go and worship them for what purpose? To invoke all this to destroy others, to bring problems for others. So that kind of worship the people are attracted to is Tamasic worship.
There are, you know, it's Chinese, there's an accident there, people worship there,
yes.
To get the numbers.
The lottery numbers, exactly. So again, all that is driven by Rajasic, Tamasic gunas, exactly. Okay. Now it comes to verse number 5. He says, there are also people, Janaha. Now he's talking about the mode and motive of worship. Verse 4 he discussed was the type of deities they pray to. Verse 4. Verse 5 is talking about the mode and the motive of worship. So he says, Ye Janaha, there are a group of people, Samyuktaha. Samyuktaha means they fully identify with this type of worship. What type of worship? If you look at the third line, Damba. So there's two words connected there. Damba, Ahamkara. In their type of worship, there is a lot of Damba. What do we mean by Damba? Damba means ostentation. When they do worship, they like to show off. So remember here, they're talking about the mode and the motive of worship. So this group of people, who like to show off when they do prayers, rituals, they like to do it very grandly, invite a lot of people, do a lot of decorations, go out of their way, ostentation, dambak, just to show off how religious they are. Secondly, they do all these prayers with ahamkar, with pride, with ego. That look how grand I can, how much money I can spend, how grand I can do these rituals and worship. So now we are talking about what? Motive of worship. The motive of worship, which is driven by what? By your own inherent nature. So if you are the type of person who likes to do elaborate rituals, prayers, do grand decorations, invite people, serve elaborate food and boast about your prayers and rituals, you can understand your faith is what type of faith? A Rajasic faith. So one is that. Second, he says, Anvita. Anvita, they are possessed or driven by what? Kama, Raga, Bala. So the fourth line you can see, Kama, Raga, Bala, Anvita. Anvita means they are possessed or driven by what? Kama is desires, meaning selfish desires. Raga is attachment. They are attached to the results. They are expecting some rewards back from their prayers and rituals. What type of results? Only for their self-gain. And Bala, they are driven by power. So three things are their motive for doing prayers and rituals. Kama, Raga, Bala. Desires, attachment and power. Their minds are constantly occupied by these three things. So whatever they have, they are, what you call, whatever they have, they do prayers and rituals to hold on. Whatever they don't have, they do prayers and rituals to also attain. So that's the difference between Kama and Raga. Kama is desires for what you don't have. Raga is attachment for what you already have. So they are obsessed to get more desires, more power and more fame. And he says another example of this type of people is Tapyante. Tapyante means they undertake. Undertake what? Tapyante, you look at the second line, Tapyante tapaha, they do austerities, they do keep austerities, they fast, they do keep all types of austerities. But what type of austerities? Goram, severe. They go beyond, what is the scripture saying, they go beyond that. So as much of pain they can inflict on them, on themselves, as much of suffering they can inflict on themselves, they go into extreme forms of austerities. And here Krishna says, extreme form of austerities is never ever sanctioned by the scriptures. So he uses one word here, if you see the word in the very first line, Ashastra Vihitam. Shastra is what? Scriptures. Ashastra means not following the scriptures. Vihita means they are not sanctioned by the scriptures. Now, that means all these practices of animal sacrifice, of drinking blood, etc., which is not at all sanctioned in the scriptures. Extreme, you see, for example, fasting is prescribed in the scriptures, isn't it? Right? Now, if we maintain a fast, it's okay. But supposing we maintain such severe fast that destroys your health, destroys your body, scriptures never, what you call, expect us to maintain any type of austerities that cause destruction to our body. So whatever you can, what you call, tolerate, do only to that limit. But whereas Rajasic, Tamasic people, they go beyond that until torturing and bringing pain to the body just for the sake of what? Showing off to others. See, motive of worship is to show off to others. So, under no circumstances should we be driven to extreme, what you call, maintaining extreme austerities also. And he explains again also why in the next verse. Why we should be very careful about maintaining extreme austerities. So, he's talking here about severe austerities. He says, the body is talking about sarirashtam. This body is made out of bhuta. So, Sharirastham Bhutagrama. Bhutagrama means a combination of five elements. The body is composed of the combination of five elements, which are ether, air, fire, water, earth. So when we do severe fasting or severe austerities, inflicting pain on the body, what happens? Krishna says you weaken the body. Karshayanta means you weaken or destroy this very body. Now what is wrong if we weaken or destroy the body? Krishna says not only are you hurting this physical body, but who is the resident of your body? God himself is residing in your body. So when you torture the body, Krishna says you are in turn torturing me also. So again I must mention, keeping austerities is not wrong. Going to extreme levels to keep austerity, that we have to be very mindful about, because scriptures never tell us to torture ourselves until we suffer like that. Okay? So he says, I am Anta Sharirastam, I am the one who is residing in your body. So don't forget that. Whatever you do, you are torturing the body, you are torturing me also. Now, we understand that when we maintain austerities, we need to discipline. The purpose of maintaining austerities is what? To discipline our body, mind and senses. It is not to torture the body, mind and senses. It is to bring about discipline, to gain mastery over the body, mind and senses. So one should not go into extreme kind of austerities. So he says now, those who practice such kind of extreme austerities, torturing the body, hurting the body, he says what? They are asura nishchayal. They are possessed of demoniacal tendencies. Okay? They practice severe austerities just to satisfy themselves and to show off to others. There is no spiritual growth. Okay? So they are practiced by achetasa. Achetasa means non-discriminating people. They are just doing it either to show off to people or either materialistic gains or either to hurt other people. So such kind of austerities are never ever prescribed in this culture.
Are they, when you do this austerities, are there results for that?
Yes, of course. Because yes. We've seen the demons when they kept austerities, if they followed according to the rules and regulations, the devas came to give them the boons, but they ended up asking for boons which ended up to destroy others. So there are results. But you must remember one thing. Whatever prayers and rituals you do, if you do with a sattvic attitude, that means for the welfare of the world or to purify yourself, if there is any defect in your prayer or ritual, if a mantra is chanted wrongly, some mistake is made, there is no repercussion. In Rajasic and Tamasic, if you do these rituals and you don't follow according to the scriptures, then the result can end up hurting you also.
Suppose,
I knew that question would come. Okay, okay. Now, let us look at Thai Pusam also. This question does come up, that these people are hurting themselves. But again, ask yourself, what is their motive for worship? If this type of ritual is sanctioned in the scriptures, number one, because we do not know, I have no knowledge of this, but let's assume it is sanctioned in the scriptures, okay, number one. Number two, why are people doing it? Are they doing it to show off to other people? Are they doing it to get more power, more wealth? Then it becomes a rajasic type of austerity or tamasic type of austerity. But if you are doing it to attain the Lord, then that ritual becomes a sattvic austerity. So we must also question, not say question, we do not know the motive of the person, but with what motive that person is doing it. So even like this, what we call this Thai Pusam, will fall under that depending on the motive of the person. Whether he is doing it for other purpose or whether to purify himself and to attain God. Thank you. So we must look at other factors also, okay, not necessarily just at the ritual itself. Okay, so now let's go to verse number 7. Now here is where Krishna talks about the very four important sadhanas. How we do these four sadhanas, we will be able to evaluate whether we are sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So these four type of sadhanas which all of us are doing, which are very common sadhanas, we can evaluate ourselves and we can also use it once we know whether we fall under which category. We should know how to also improve ourselves also. If we are following rajasic, tamasic, then we should know how to move on to sattva. So now he says, what are the four sadhanas? One is ahara. Okay, ahara means the food. What is the type of food we are attracted to? That also will tell us whether what is our nature also. So ahara food. That's why when we talk about vegetarian food, you cannot force a person to go into vegetarianism. It's impossible. So it's better that you take it up naturally. It must be a natural progression. As you get more sattvic, you will automatically be attracted to sattvic. And if you are already eating vegetarian food, then you can know that you are sattvic, right? So one is ahara, okay? Second is yajna. So yajna is how we do our prayers, our pujas. How do we perform? Okay, he will tell us what is the attitude with which we must perform the prayers. That attitude also will determine whether we are sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Third is tapaha, austerities. Now austerity does not only mean fasting. What other type of austerities are there? Thoughts also, yes. If you are the type of person who always has violent thoughts or what you call hateful thoughts about people, austerity you can perform at least that one day, don't entertain any violent thoughts. Whatever you are addicted to, supposing you are addicted to a lot of sugar, you like to drink 10 cups of coffee a day. If you deny yourself one day any coffee, that also is a form of austerity. Because don't forget, the purpose of austerity is to what? Is to gain mastery over your body, mind and senses. So not necessarily fasting. You analyze yourself, what you have a weakness for. If you like to eat a lot of chili food, then you should know, keep aside one day where you eat the bland food. So you gain mastery over yourself. So tapaha. And the fourth one is dana, which is charity. That means what? Not necessarily you give charity, you are doing the sattvic way. There is a sattvic, rajasic and tamasic way to give charity also. So here in verse 7, Krishna says, verse number 7, he says, ahara priya. Ahara, the food which is priya, which is dear, is of three types also. Okay, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Tapas, yajnas, danam, all these type of four type of activities can be classified under three types of what we call groups, three types of groups. Okay. So now let us first look at what do you mean by sattvic food. So in verse number 8, Krishna will describe sattvic food. Verse number 9, rajasic food. Verse number 10, we will talk about tamasic food. Now, what is the interesting thing about food? You will say, what has got food got to do with my nature? So in the Chandogya Upanishads, there is a very beautiful line which is written, which talks about food. It says, ahara suddhav, sattva suddhi. Sattva suddhav, dhruva smriti. Dhruva smriti, lambe sarva granthinam vipramoksha. Now what it simply means, ahara, you know, is food. Ahara suddha means what? If your food is pure, this is what the Upanishad is saying. If your food is pure, sattva suddhi. Sattva means your mind and intellect becomes pure. When we intake pure food, You see, in the scriptures also it's mentioned that food has got three parts: gross, subtle, and waste product. Gross part of food affects our gross body, isn't it? We all know that. If you eat a lot of oily food, what happens to your body? You put on weight. But the scriptures say in every food there is a subtle food, subtle part. Gross one affects your gross body. Subtle part of the food affects your subtle body. There is definitely a connection between food and the type of your nature. Your mind and your intellect also is made up of partly of the food that you eat. And the third part is called waste product, which is thrown out from your body. So, ahara suddha sattva suddhi. Food is pure, mind and intellect become pure. Sattva suddha, when the mind and intellect become pure, what do you think is going to happen? If your mind and intellect is pure, what is going to happen? Your dhruva smriti, your thoughts will become more noble, your thoughts will become more divine. Automatically you become more divine, you think of more good things, positive things, spiritual things. So food affects the mind, mind in turn affects the quality of your thoughts. And he says dhruva smriti, when one constantly remembers God, mind becomes pure and constantly remembers God, assured is there vipra moksha, assured is there moksha. So there is a connection. So food again is a very important aspect of our spiritual journey. And now this is how Krishna identifies what is sattvic food.
The food.
Yes.
She was preparing the food. She was
thinking
of
a
silver tumbler.
She was thinking of what?
Silver tumbler.
Silver tumbler, okay.
Steel it.
Steel it.
To steel it.
Okay.
So the monk went there to eat. He took the tumbler and went, because the thoughts of that person who was preparing the food had gone into the food.
Into the food. So you mean the monk had the food?
No. The monk said that
affects the food. As we say, you cook in anger, you cook in hatred, and all that, definitely there is effect on the food.
The food is sattvic.
Yeah, but what is sattvic? Because we often think that, you know, what is sattvic food? Let us look at what do you mean by sattvic. So sattvic food, he says, are those which are vivardhana. So sattvic or vivardhana means they are those foods which specifically contribute to these factors. Okay, what are the factors? Number one, ayu. Any type of food that promotes a long life, gives you a long life, that falls under sattvic. Now later we will see where meat falls under. Okay, so don't worry about it now. So ayu means any type of food that promotes a long life, number one. Number two, sattvic food is that which promotes sattva. Sattva means that gives us mental strength, mental concentration. Okay, that develops our mental concentration. Second. Third, bala. Bala here means physical strength. That means we don't feel lethargic, tired. Our body is healthy physically to carry out all our duties and responsibilities. Okay, bala. Next is arogya. Arogya means any type of food that gives us good health, which protects us or keeps us free from diseases. The food should not contribute to any disease in our body. Okay. And sukham. Sukham meaning after we consume the food, it must not cause health problems, indigestion, burning of the stomach, burning of the oesophagus, that kind of burning type of food. So after consuming, you must feel light, you must feel comfortable, you must not feel like, you know, the whole stomach is on fire or something like that. Okay? Priti. Prithi is while eating also, sukham was after consumption. That means later on you should not create some kind of medical problems. Prithi means while eating we should be very relaxed. The food that makes us feel very comfortable, easy to digest type of food. So, what else is sattvic food? Rasya. Rasya means food that is juicy or succulent, that contains a lot of juices, like fruits, like vegetables, they contain a lot of juices and they are succulents. Okay? Snigdha. Snigdha means the food must contain some natural oils, like sunflower seeds, whatever that contains some natural oil. That's why last time they used to, in fact, put a bit of ghee in the rice. If you go back to the traditional households in India, they actually put ghee in the rice. So, nowadays, why ghee causes problem? It's processed, it's not pure ghee. Whereas if you're eating pure ghee, there's no problem in it. That's what our scriptures say. Any food that has got natural oil like nuts and seeds, that's why now they tell you take olive oil, granola oil and corn oil. So any food that has got natural oil, that falls under sattvic food. Sunflower oil. Stiraha. Stira that hydrates the body. Like fruit juices, milk, water, that bring hydration to the body. And hridaya. Hridaya means they must be pleasing to our senses, not smelly, foul food. Okay? It must have a pleasant smell also. Okay? So it must be devoid of foul smell or impurity. Now, according to this, therefore, this is the description. Krishna says, Ahara Sattvika Priya. Sattvic people are naturally attracted to these foods. So generally you can understand that these are basically vegetables, fruits, cereals, grains, etc. that will contribute as sattvic food. Okay? So, if you are not attracted to such type of foods, that means your nature is not sattvic. Okay? Now, we come to rajasic food. What is rajasic food? Rajasic food, Krishna says in verse number 9, which is khatu. Khatu means bitter. So bitter food falls under rajasic food. One description. Second, amla. See, all the words are actually mixed up. If you look at the Sanskrit text, khatva, amla, all are mixed up, and I'm just breaking it down for you. Amla means sour. Sour foods. Lavana. Lavana means salty foods. Usna. Usna means hot in terms of temperature. If you eat food that is extremely hot, that is rajasic food. Tikshna. Tikshna is pungent, which has lot of chilies. Chilies. So earlier was hot in terms of temperature. Tikshna is like hot in terms of spiciness, chilies. Ruksha. Ruksha means which is dry, devoid of any natural oils. All the dry type of foods where the oils have been removed from their natural oils. And the last one is vidahina. Vidahina means burning, that really burns your mouth when you eat, burns your ossificus, burns your stomach. Any type of these foods, all these fall under rajasic. Now there's a big problem, isn't it? Very, very big problem. Why? Because we all put salt in our food. We all eat sour food, we all eat bitter food, we all eat hot food, we all do take a bit of chili, some do take in excess. But what is the main point that Krishna is trying to make here? So one word which you cannot see inside here is a hidden word which is not mentioned also in the English text also. But it's inside the Sanskrit text. If you look at it very carefully in the first line, khatva, amala, lavana, there is one word inside there, ati, A-T-I. Okay, you can't see it, it is written together. Okay, so this is the problem when you come to translation, they don't pick up this word. So ati means what? Ati means excessively. So it is not that taking food with salt or bitter food is harmful. When you are attracted to excessively bitter, excessively sour, excessively salty, excessively spicy, that is rajasic. Okay, so just be careful. It's not that you cannot put salt or cannot eat bitter food. It means cannot eat bitter gourd. Of course you can eat bitter gourd. So ati, the word ati must be understood excessively. And if you look at a rajasic person, isn't that how a person lives his life? Everything in excess. Money in excess, fame in excess, power in excess, everything I want in excess. So when it comes to food also, everything, the more excessive, the better also. So that means if you cook vegetables and extra spicy, does it become sattvic or rajasic? Rajasic. So not necessary if you are a vegetarian that you are eating sattvic food. Also how you like it prepared, how you like to eat it, that also will depend on your nature also. Okay? And what else about rajasic food?
Overeating.
Huh? Overeating. When these type of foods are consumed regularly, excessively salty, bitter, spicy, what do you think they will, what do you think will happen?
Health.
So he says pradaha, they will produce these problems. Dukkha. Dukkha means distress at the time of eating. Because when you eat, it burns up all the, what you call your digestive system. Okay, dukkha means while eating, all the throat, the tongue, the whole digestive system is aflame. Okay, so dukkha, they cause great discomfort while eating. Shoka, later it creates more medical problems, indigestion, gastric problems, etc. Okay. Amaya, diseases, variety of medical problems, gastritis, ulcers, etc. So any of these foods which you are attracted to, excessively salty, bitter, spicy, and cause medical problems, Krishna says, ahara rajasa istaha. Istaha means they are dear to who? Rajasic type of people. Rajasic type. Now we talk about tamasic food in verse number 10. What is tamasic food? Tamasic food, Krishna says, which is yatayaman. Yatayaman means half cooked, not properly cooked food. Okay? So, undercooked food, yatayaman. Number one. Number two, gatarasam. Gatarasam means overcooked food. All the essence has been knocked out from the food, overcooking of food, okay, burning, burnt food, etc. Okay. Food that has been overcooked. Puti. Puti means food which has gone stale because you kept it for a long time. There are people, you know, who when supermarkets have this sale, they clear all the canned foods with expiry dates. You'll have people actually going and buying them. No problem, they leave because they don't care even with expiry date. Puti. Pauryushitam. Now, here again there is another also problem because we all do follow this. Pauryushitam is food that is kept overnight, cooked yesterday and then consumed the next day. Traditionally, scriptures say that we should not consume food that has been cooked for more than 6 hours. Should not consume. So what you cook should consume within 6 hours. Okay? So uchistam is food that has been food that has been cooked, kept overnight and then consumed the next day. Uchistam is food that has been partially consumed by someone, they leave it and then you go and eat that. So somebody eats that, leaves the food, you eat that. So that also is considered tamasic type of food. Now comes the main criteria for tamasic food. Amedium. So what is the translation of amedium? Amedium, English translation given is impure. But what actually is impure? What do you mean by impure food? Food that you won't offer to God. So from that itself you can tell now, food which I won't put on the altar and offer to God, we lie offer to the deity which is within me. So now you can understand where does meat fall under. It's not directly mentioned, but from a medium you can conclude food that is not fit for sacrifice to offer to God. Okay. So now the question is about kept food. We all know we do this. We do, and because of today's lifestyle, we do cook food, consume part of it, refrigerate the balance, eat it the next day. We do that. The question here is that if you do it once a while, it's not wrong. But if you're constantly going to do it, it is definitely going to affect you in some way or other. So we have to understand. We have to try to minimize the tamasic. We can't cancel out totally overnight. But what we should do, if we are serious about becoming more sattvic, minimize the tamasic food or cut it out totally, reduce rajasic food and try to increase the sattvic food. So that is only one practice. We are talking about ahara, which by which we can what we call monitor ourselves, whether are we sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, and how can we change to be more sattvic also. So one is food, and when we come back the next week, then we will take up the other three balanced sadhanas, that is yakya, dana and tapa. Okay, any questions now at this stage?
Well,
one of
the questions is that when you can...
Sorry, vegetarian, vegetarian, free chicken and all.
Mock chicken.
See, that's why I don't understand the concept of this. Because we want to eat vegetarian food because we miss the taste of chicken. Why don't we eat chicken? I just don't understand what it is.